Live from Fort Bragg's backyard, this is the show that put the 110 Nation on the map. There is only one nation, the 110 Nation, and you're listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show. Covering each and every sport across the board, there is no sport too large or too little. It's time to talk the talk. Here we go. Here's the man, the founder, and your host, Mr. CJ Sports.
Everybody to the 110 Nation Sports Show. I'm your host, Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow me at Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow the 110 Nation at 110 Nation. Check us out on Facebook, my personal fan page. I'm just making sure the audio comes through. I didn't mean to get myself interrupted there. And I'll explain here in a second. But you guys can follow me on my personal fan page, Mr. CJ Sports, the 110 Nation fan page, 110 Nation Sports. Check out the site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the latest going on here at the 110 Nation. Glad to be here on this Wednesday night. I'll explain why I was not here on Tuesday night. But back to the echo and everything. Ever since I've connected everything in the new studio, the volume has not been where I need the volume to be, and it sounds very low. So while I am figuring it out, which I think I might have just figured out why, because I turn down the audio on the computer every time I do a show, and see, it's playing now. But I turn down the audio on the computer so I don't have notifications coming in and making a bunch of noise, but my stuff is connected through a soundboard to through a USB to the computer. And when I highlight on the speaker, it shows what I think is that soundboard, the name of the soundboard. So there's a good possibility when I turn it down, it is turning the volume down of the soundboard, which therefore makes it sound real low. And I'm going to play with that later on. So I'm thinking that's a possibility. But I went out and got a headset so I could have better quality shows. And you guys can hear me much better. And so I wanted to make sure, and I've played with it a couple of times here just to make sure. I want to make sure that it's playing good. I want to make sure that it was good quality sound so I didn't waste time doing a show for no reason. But with us being on iTunes and us being on iHeartRadio and Google Podcast and all these other different platforms that we are on, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, the list kind of goes on and on and on and on and on. I wanted to make sure that we had great quality shows, and Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeart, Google Podcasts, like I said. I want to make sure that we still had a great quality show, and we weren't hurting ourselves quality with being on these different platforms. As we do, got to upgrade our. Playing with this. Reason I was not on the show Tuesday night, why we didn't air, we'll figure this out later, why we didn't air on Tuesday night for the 110 Nation Sports Show. You know, it's crazy. In my day job, I went from being in a store that was a low-profile store, even though we were number one in, like, every category in growth. In the store I was at, we were still considered a low-profile store. We were a little corner store with four pumps, smallest cubic foot. Originally was an 18-hour store. Our sales made it where we became a 24-hour store. But we were a low-profile store. So what I mean by that is anytime the president of the company or the VP of the company or the president or the VP of the region, or even a lot of times a regional manager, we call them RDOs, regional directors of operation, came to town. You know, our boss, we call market managers, but our district managers, our district manager wouldn't tell us. We eventually caught on, but wouldn't tell us which stores that they weren't coming to and had us all get prepared because you never know what store they're going to come to, which they know what store. That's what's great about this, the district manager or market manager. He just straight up and honest and let us know the four stores that are being visited today. Well, I went from being a low-profile store to a very high-profile store. I went from taking a store over 15 months ago that was doing about 35 grand a week to now we're doing 60 grand a week, where I was not even, I don't think, top five in our particular market in overall sales to being the number one store in our market in overall sales. I don't even know where we're at in fuel sales, but we are number eight in the entire region, the whole Midwest in fuel sales. So we're a very high-profile store. We were one of the first stores to roll out the new food program. We're the test market and a lot of different things that the company is trying and is going to implicate. We're also the first to have the pull tab machines, one of the few newer stores that have the brand new lottery vending machine, one of the very first stores to have the Bitcoin machines. There's just a lot of things going on. So last night when I finally got off at around 6-ish, I came home, got showered, got relaxed. Probably caught a good 30, 45 minutes of TV, and I was out. I was out before showtime. I knew I was not going to make it to showtime. And I also knew that I had to get up and be back at work first thing in the morning. So I was ready for this visit from the vice president of the region and the regional directors of operations and my market manager and everything else, which we had a excellent ride. They very complimentary on my sales, very complimentary on how great the store looked, very complimentary on my staff and everything going on. So got to be thankful for that. I did want to be at work at 3 o'clock this morning. I didn't get there till about 3:30, which I ended up kicking myself in the ass because about 3:20 we had what we called a beer run. Someone came in, grabbed three cases of beer and took off. It's a very common thing. We're right by the highway, unfortunately. My assistant manager did get the plate number, so kudos to her. I'm doing paperwork. I have the cameras up. Usually I don't keep the camera in our beer cave on because we don't sell beer until 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. But I went ahead and kept the beer cave camera on today as part of the 9 cameras that I had on out of the 20 cameras we got going on inside the store. And at 5 o'clock, I was like, wow, there's somebody in the beer cave. I said, he's getting beer. It looks like another beer run. And I come running from out the office in the back of the store, yelling to my food person, my assistant manager, that you got a beer run going on right now. Everybody's looking around. And sure enough, the same guy that got us for 3 cases of beer at 3:20 this morning was trying to get us for 3 more of the exact same cases, 2 Bud Light, 1 Modelo, a beer run. I don't know who needs 6 cases of beer in an hour and a half stretch from 3:30 to 5. He tried to play dumb and was like, what, it's 6 o'clock, I could buy beer. I'm like, first of all, it's 5 o'clock, and second of all, those are the exact same 3 beer case combination that you stole earlier. You ain't trying to buy no beer. Then I went ahead and followed him outside and informed him that I was double-checking the license plate number that we did give the police earlier in our police report. So hopefully that gives him an indication that we know who he is, we have his license plate number, and maybe he won't decide to do that again. So we'll find out. Beer runs had slowed down. My last audit, which happened while I was out injured the middle of last month, we were $1,600 short. So beer runs were a very bad thing for us and hurts us a lot. So we'll see. But anyway, we didn't come to talk work. We didn't come to talk daytime job. We come to talk sports. So I'm going to do one more mic check on this and make sure we got a good single. But anyway, we didn't come to talk work. We didn't come to talk daytime job. We come to talk sports. So I'm going to do one more mic check on this and make sure we got a good single. But anyway, we didn't come to talk work. We didn't come to talk daytime job. We come to talk sports. So I'm going to do one more mic check on this and make sure we got a good single.
we didn't come to talk work.
We do. We got it. We got it. So we're good. So just wanted to make sure that make sure we got the volume going. We got the studio up. I'm going to go ahead and shut down the replay. Make sure you guys jump over to www.110nationsports.com. I talked about the Sam Darnold to the Panthers trade. Like I said in my little piece there, most of my phone is blown up from anybody in North Carolina. In the 15 months that I've been back in Ohio, a lot of upset Panther fans down there. For those who don't know, the Panthers traded for Sam Darnold from the New York Jets in return for a draft pick this year and two draft picks in the 2022 draft. So I don't feel that you're getting much of an upgrade from Teddy Bridgewater. I was never a big fan of Teddy Bridgewater. I never really thought that Teddy Bridgewater would really mount to much. He hasn't. And I feel the same way about Sam Darnold. I don't think that Sam Darnold is going to mount to much. You can blame it on the Jets, but like Taqiba Leave had made mentioned, you know, you're drafted by the worst team, first pick and high draft picks to go in and help turn the team around. And that's what you're drafted. So, you know what you're getting into when he did not have the success that the Jets thought they were going to have. The Jets get the 6th-round pick in this draft, and they get a 2nd and 4th-round selection in the 2022 draft. This year's 6th-round pick will be the 226th pick. So, in hindsight, the Carolina Panthers didn't give up a lot, but I think they still gave up too much. And at the end of the day, now you just gave up 3 draft picks for a quarterback that hasn't proven anything. And instead of either using those draft picks to draft up, a quarterback that you can invest in and draft up and get at a cheaper rate. You got Carolina is going to have to weigh in on whether or not they're going to take the 5th-year option for 2022. Predetermined amount is $18.8 million fully guaranteed. I just, even though it's not a lot to give up, a 2nd and a 4th round of 2022 and the 6th pick this round, which was like a 226th pick, you still gave up 3 picks of what would be going towards your future, going towards you rebuilding and putting team together. And I don't think that the 3 picks were worth it. I just really don't. Also, we just dropped a press release for Jordan Anderson Racing. Is Howie DiSaviano III will be making his NASCAR Camping World Truck Series debut at Richmond. So make sure you guys jump over and check that out. I will also be doing my homework and work on getting things ready for the draft. So I will be putting my thoughts and my opinions on the site, so make sure you guys jump over there and check them out. I get really tired of this whole for sure thing. It seems like every time you read an article, turn on a show, open a magazine, you see the headline and the conversation of Trevor Lawrence being a for sure thing. First of all, there's, and even in front of this magazine I'm looking at right now from Athlon Sports, NFL Draft, the sure thing prospect, or number one prospect, Trevor Lawrence. One, I in my entire lifetime, 43 years, I can't recall a player that I ever felt going into the NFL was a for sure thing. Now, the closest thing that, I'm not going to say closest thing to a for sure thing, but the last time we had this whole conversation, the best thing since John Elway, then basically calling him the for sure thing was Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck wasn't even the best quarterback in Colts history, let alone a for sure thing or this quarterback that is above and beyond everybody else. So, one, the whole conversation about a for sure thing is a conversation, and I just get tired of hearing. I hate the whole conversation of the for sure thing, because there's no such thing as a for sure thing ever. But once again, and for those that have listened to my show at all, and speaking of which, I want to jump into this real quick. Before I forget, next Thursday, April 15th, we will actually have hit our 10-year mark. I don't know why I was going to say 15. 10-year mark, 10 years of doing this. The 110 Nation has been around. It is hard to believe that we've been around for 10 years, but next Thursday hits it. So we'll talk a little bit about it on Monday night show, Race Chat Live, as I'll make mention of it, let the guys remember. And, of course, next Tuesday night on our show as well. But for those that, Trevor Lawrence is for sure a thing. Talking about 39 games, he went 37-2, which, okay, you could almost say that sounds like a for sure thing. 37 wins out of 39 games. That sounds pretty for sure, I guess. Except when you break it down, let's talk about those 37 wins out of those 39 games. We're not going to mention the two losses, the Ohio State and Alabama. Let's talk about 26. What is 26, CJ? 26 of those 37 wins are against ACC teams. That would be like the equivalence of bragging about any team in the MAC-10, talking about any quarterback saying they won 26 times against a MAC conference team or a Conference USA team or a Pac-12. It would be like Ohio State bragging about beating your local high school varsity team. Like, come on, it's the ACC. You play the likes of the Duke Blue Devils, Carolina State, Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, Boston College. I mean, come on, are you serious? This is your whole for sure thing here. Next three, you got three more that takes you up to your 29 out of 37 against non-conference, non-major conference competition. Furman, Wofford, and Citadel. Do we even know what states those colleges even playing? Your next one, we actually have a couple major conferences that they did beat on. Sun Belt, where is the Sun Belt considered a conference? Must be somewhere down south because it was Georgia Southern, but obviously Georgia Southern is not good enough to be part of the SEC, so you beat what was equivalent to a high school football team. Then you beat up on a team in Conference USA. You beat Charlotte. So now we've gotten 31 of your 37. Next one is Ohio State in the 2019 Fiesta Bowl, with one of the most controversial and worst calls ever in bowl history, to help get them the win, and the SEC referees setting up in LSU, Clemson, matchup that LSU, it was LSU and Ohio State that beat Trevor Lawrence, not Alabama, I'm sorry, but set up that opportunity for LSU to beat the brakes off of Clemson instead of having Ohio State play LSU and been a better matchup. Four of those wins came against SEC teams. Two of them, twice South Carolina, once Texas A&M, that were unranked and garbage, and then one time Texas A&M that was ranked 12th. And then, of course, they did beat Alabama in the national title game that one year in 2018 against a injured plague. And we all know how much I hate Alabama, so, you know, I'm not ever sticking up for Alabama. So that's your for sure thing. That's why I'm so tired of hearing about Trevor Lawrence and, oh, he's a for sure thing. He was 758, 1138 for 10,098 yards, 90 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, 43 sacks. But you played nobody. That's just like the Duke Blue Devils or Carolina on a normal year. We're not going to talk about the last 2 years. We're not going to definitely talk about this year where Baylor ended up winning the national championship and giving Gonzaga the first loss in the championship game tonight. Hell of a season for Gonzaga, though. Even that overtime thriller to get him into the national title championship game. But in a normal year, just like the Duke Blue Devils or UNC of college basketball, they normally beat up on everybody. Let's call an ace an ace and a spade a spade. There's not a for sure thing in this draft. And Trevor Lawrence, I'm sorry, is the farthest thing from ever being labeled as the for sure thing. I don't know. I guess I'm a little bit different. I am not entirely impressed with this whole quarterback field. They're talking about this would be like the second time that we got three quarterbacks going 1-2. This would be the third time. We'll have two other times. 1-2-3 are projected to be quarterbacks. Whether it's Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, or if it's Mac Jones in the middle of that or Trey Lance in the middle of that. Anyway, which way you spin it, I'm really not impressed with the quarterback field. And sadly enough, next year's quarterback field is even weaker and less impressive. But I'm far from impressed with this quarterback field. You're selling me. You're trying to sell me on this whole Trevor Lawrence being a for sure thing. I just not impressed with it. You say what you want to say, being a Buckeye fan, you got Justin Fields, who went 20-2, 5,701 yard, percentage completion was better than 68.4, 67 touchdowns in one and basically one and a half less seasons, as you're talking about 36 versus 22, games. Only 9 interceptions and only they didn't even put his sacks on her. I'm not even sure why they didn't put his sacks on her. Outrushed Trevor Lawrence and had more rushing touchdowns than Trevor Lawrence in 14 less games. Really just outperformed in a better conference. But once again, I'm only holding so much weight into that because you have those matchups. You play those Toledos, you play those weak teams, even your few weak teams in the Big Ten. I'm not real impressed with Zach Wilson. 19-9, a little over 7,500 yards, 56 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, 600 rushing yards. Really not impressed. 19-9 record. Out there for BYU, not even that tough of a conference. So I'm not really sold on that. Trey Lance, another name is being thrown around. Did go 17-0, only threw for 2,900 yards. Really, he just threw for 2,700, almost 2,800 yards in one season. First season, he only threw for 12 yards, so basically didn't really throw at all. And last season with COVID, they only played one game, so not a lot to throw. Talk about in that 30 touchdowns, one interception, but you played out there in North Dakota State, even a weaker conference. Just not impressed. And then the whole Mac Jones thing, that has been one of those topic of conversations a lot. For the fact that Mac Jones played on a team that never was behind in the second half of a football game, had the best wide receivers, played in a program that he really didn't have to be athletic, really honestly didn't have to be that accurate of a quarterback either. With the talent of the wide receiver and the receiving position, you kind of just had to throw it up there. Your receivers kind of did the rest of the work. It was 16-1, 6,100 yards, 56 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Only 40, talk about not athletic at all, 42 rushing yards. Now, hold on. And so everybody talks about this class, and, oh, the top three are going to be quarterbacks. Only the third time this has ever happened. And, you know, next year the quarterback position, the quality of quarterbacks and the projection is so much weaker, this, that, and the other. And this year's really nothing to brag about. This is not something that you got Justin Fields, which I wish that he would have spent another good quality year at Ohio State. He really didn't play much his first year out there in Georgia. Played the last 2 years. Last year was a shortened season. I wish he would have came back for his senior season and seen what could have happened with the two full-length seasons, and really just kind of gave the scouts and GMs and head coaches something really to look at versus kind of a season that fell short due to a controversial call, then a COVID-19 shortened season that ended with you losing to Alabama in a lopsided defeat. I just wish it would have went. I wish that he would have stayed. And then you have a bunch of variables. You got San Francisco with the third pick. Really, that's who they're projecting to be the other quarterback that makes it out of the five or so quarterbacks that, you know, we're talking about, with Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, and, of course, Mac Jones. Outside of that, things really start to kind of fall apart when we talk about the quarterback position. Of course, you're going to have a couple of that are going to fall into that third, fourth, fifth, even sixth round, and one of them, possibility, as we've seen, how even far back as Tom Brady, who was drafted in the sixth round, 199th overall pick, whatever it was. Dak Prescott in the fourth round. There's always Russell Wilson was third round. So we know that there's a possibility that one of these quarterbacks drafted this year that get drafted sometime after, I don't know, third, fourth round or so, may make it, may fall into an opportunity, may fall on a team that they've got the perfect player, coach, play scheme combination that makes them look good, makes them feel comfortable. But I don't see what it is so special about this class, even being a diehard Ohio State Buckeye fan. I don't see what everybody's oohing and on. And I, like I said, I'm beyond tired of hearing about this quote-unquote for sure thing. Got some interesting running backs coming out this year. You got Clemson's Travis Etienne. You got Najee Harris coming out of Alabama. You got Javonte Williams coming out of Carolina. Kenneth Gainwell coming out of Memphis. Chuba Hubbard out of Oklahoma State. Michael Carter out of Carolina as well. Just a lot of great running backs The only sad thing is, unless you're Nick Chubb and I can see this combination. Why I'm drawing a blank being a Browns fan, but that Kareem Hunt. Unless you're that combination, or maybe one or two other running backs in the NFL, NFL has just kind of been the running back in the NFL has just not been a thing. I can't see too many running backs being taken early, and you got some decent receivers. But I don't know. I just this whole for sure thing is just killing me with this. Don't forget Monday night right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. We got Race Chat Live with Chris Craig and Taz. Great show, great laugh, great guests. They have been booking it with guests, and it's been Hillbilly Racing was on this last week. So if that tells you anything, I think it was the week before the driver, his daughter was getting ready. She's been crew chiefing for the team. She's getting ready an opportunity to do some racing. It was an interesting interview. And I know they got a bunch of drivers scheduled coming up. So make sure you guys tune in to that. That is Race Chat Live right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network, 8 p.m. So you guys don't miss that. Like I said, you guys can follow us on Twitter at 110 Nation. Like us on Facebook, the 110 Nation Sports. Make sure you guys check out the site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the latest. Talked about the Sam Bradford deal, Sam Bradford being traded to Carolina from the Jets for a six-round pick this year, which was pick 266, and then the second, fourth round of the 2022 draft. And we got the press release out of Jordan Racing Jordan Anderson Racing that we put out there. And, of course, I'm going to be talking about the NFL draft, and you guys ready for that. So baseball did a thing over this last week. They decided that it was in their best interest, and this kills me, in their best interest to move the All-Star game out of Atlanta due to the fact that Georgia kind of upped their game on voter registration. Basically, they're kind of the front runners of making sure that we have a fair and honest election. No more of illegal votes, false votes, made up votes found out of nowhere, boxes of votes delivered in the middle of the night. Like, Georgia is setting the bar that the next election is going to be a fair, honest. Those that are legally allowed to vote, your votes are going to count. Anybody that is not legally allowed to vote or is not registered, you're not going to vote. You're going to have an ID, and you're going to do this the legal way. Baseball didn't like that. The same baseball that if you go to their game, you have to show your ID to get your tickets from will call. So it's not important to you to make sure that the election for the highest position in this free land, the president of the United States, it's not, in your mind, it is not right for it to be enforced that it is done fair, that every legal vote is counted, and everybody has to verify who they say they are. But it is required to verify you say who you are to get your tickets at will call. I mean, let's not be a hypocrite now. Let's just, if you Major League Baseball, you feel that IDs and to prove you are who you say you are is not a necessity to be able to do one of the most important things in the United States, then I think I should be able to walk up and say my name is Joe Blow and you give me some freaking tickets and that'd be the end of it. I mean, Come on now, let's not have a double standard. Let's not be hypocrites about this. And then, as a matter of fact, while I'm in there and my 14-year-old son or 17-year-old son or even my 10-year-old son decided they want to get a beer, don't ask for an ID. I mean, that would be very hypocritical of you to ask that ID to prove that they are who they say they are and the age of who they say they are, but it not be right to validate and prove you are who you are to vote on the most important position in the entire United States. Like you can't have a double standard about this baseball. And fortunately, there's not that many idiots out there in the world, and there's a lot of people upset about Major League Baseball and moving this election, and there's even some of those on that side of the aisle that are upset that your Democratic leaders out there couldn't keep their mouths shut and kind of provoked Major League Baseball to do this, and now ATL is out of all this money. All that money that would have been brought in for an all-star game to help kind of re-jumpstart an economy that has been suffering, just like most economies ever since this COVID-19, ever since this new presidential taking over the White House and the market being as horrible as it is and jobs being lost and gas prices being up and unemployment taking record, going back up to record highs and everything else that has happened. This was just one more hit to this whole agenda. As baseball decides they're going to relocate the All-Star game to prove some kind of point. I'm not quite sure the point being made because Georgia stood their ground. They're going to continue to make sure that they do everything they can to ensure that we have a fair and honest election. And Major League Baseball, you screwed yourself. Nothing has changed on that part. And as a matter of fact, you look like a real ass because you all ups in arms about an ID and proving you are who you say you are, but then you require IDs on alcohol sale and tickets at will call and everything else that you require an ID when it comes to a Major League Baseball event. I don't quite get it. I'm not quite sure I understand really what was going through their minds when all this was going on right from the MajorLeagueBaseball.com site. Group and hospitality tickets left at will call will be held under one person's name, and that person will need a picture ID to pick up their tickets. Unfortunately, we do not have tickets under a company name or with a guest list. So you just can't say I'm here with Budweiser, or you just can't say, I'm Joe Smith on that list, or just happen to know somebody's name that's on a list. You got to have an ID. You got to prove, and that ticket's under one person's name. What, why, how is beyond me. But yes, that happened over this last week, and it's got a lot of people. One, it's got a lot of people upset. And you got it's easy to say, especially for us in the media. And you get a lot of players that get all bent out of shape, and that you swear they got rotted with a sexual toy that is like lubed up with peroxide or something and is burning or something. I don't know. But it's easy for us to sit here and talk about this is why you keep sports and politics separated. And it is. And, I don't necessarily get down to just dribble and the kind of get into the root part of it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's kind of where we're at. And, you know, I tell people when I talk about this, when I talk about it, look, this is what I do to get away from the world. You know, when I tune in to the Monday night show, sometimes I get on and throw my two cents. Most of the time I just tune in or I will be, you know, wrapping up the night. For those that don't know my schedule, I get up 3 o'clock in the morning. I've got to be at work at 4 o'clock in the morning. So it gets to be about 8 o'clock or so. Most nights it's a struggle. I caught a 30, 45-minute nap earlier today. But most days it's a struggle to make it to 9 o'clock. So if I'm not on the show, it's even more of a struggle. Mondays is kind of a struggle because Saturday and Sunday, you kind of sleep in a little bit, you up a little bit later. So the Monday when that alarm clock goes off at 3 o'clock and then it's go, go, go. By the time 8 o'clock, I tune in, I call in the show, I listen to it for a good 30, 45 minutes, sometime make it to 9 o'clock. I join the chat room and, you know, kind of throw my two cents on a couple of different things, kind of let the guys know I'm tuned in and listening. Then I kind of, I'm on, you know, I'm out. And then usually Tuesday nights, you know, I kind of catch my nap and then therefore I can make it till 9 o'clock when I get off the show. I've already showered, changed, ready for bed. Most nights usually I go ahead and just lay down and get an alarm set and call it a night. Tonight I might start working on highlighting a few things and start working on this NFL draft, as we're right around the corner from that, and I'm just getting started on getting my take and breaking down things. But if not, then I will be doing that. Usually Wednesday night is church night. I've been going to classes the last 3-4 weeks, men's class. Tonight was just regular service, so it wasn't such a horrible thing that I stayed tonight and did the show, since I missed it last night due to work. And usually Thursday night, I try to get some door dashing in. If not, I chill Thursday and Friday night after work. It's weird being in bed by 9, 10 o'clock most Friday nights. Usually laying down sometime like 7:30, 8 o'clock, especially in Ohio. It wasn't so weird in North Carolina when it got dark by 8:30, but here in Ohio in the summertime, it's 9:30, 10 o'clock before it gets dark. Most nights, especially this summer, here we are. Even late March, the beginning of April, it's 8:30, almost 9 o'clock, and it's still light outside. So most nights it's still light outside when I actually lay down. And then you roll on the Saturday, which I usually tend to ends up being a thing where we go to the gym first thing, and then I door dash all day. So usually that's the only day I get to door dash. So I try to get a good 5-6 hours in and make the car payment and a couple other things I need to make. And then Sunday is usually church and then either sports or DoorDash or both. Fortunately, this week's the race is on Saturday night, so I can get up, do the gym, go DoorDash, be back for the race. And that means I get some DoorDash time in on Sunday. And, you know, that's the end of the week. And then, you know, we got gym where we can hit after work. So it's kind of hectic. And so making it until 9 o'clock at night. So now I got to really get back into the rhythm of getting the site stuff on there and everything and get some work on that. You know, it's easy to sit there and talk about keeping politics when it comes to basketball players and football players. And that, honestly, that's what's turned me off a lot of things, is why I've not really been big on the whole basketball thing. It being so political, them promoting these racist hate groups like Black Lives Matter and stuff. And I understand not everybody in BLM is racist and hateful, but majority of it is. And what was supposed to be a good thing and a thing to kind of bring awareness has turned into a really just distasteful, hateful rioting situation that makes them no better than any other hate group out there. You got college basketball, and you got the writer at USA Today talking about I talked about on the last show that college Robertson that was a college base and how they shouldn't be there because they they don't conform to the worldviews, and everything becomes, this is what I, when I sit down, I'm back to my original point, I was trying to remember what my original point, when I sit down on Monday night for that 30, 45 minutes and listen to sports, and when I'm on this show for an hour, and when I sit and watch different events, Saturdays, matter of fact, the girls' soccer, I'm hoping it stays very unpolitical. Unfortunately, it's starting to get a little political because I love watching women's USA. I mean, there's nothing better to me than watching our women kick everybody's ass. And, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, I love watching them play. That's my opportunity to kind of put the world issues to the back of my mind. The politics, the hate, the racism, the everything going on negative in this world. I use sports to block that out. I tune in, and Ms. Brandy, you know, was talking to me. You know, you talk about, you know, different political things here and there. Because how's that different than you talking about athletes doing that? Well, first of all, people tune in to listen to me talk. People tune in to get my opinions on different things sport-related and things that affect sports, and it's an opinionated show. That's different than me turning on the Lakers and game and then have to listen to LeBron get political. I didn't turn the game on to listen to his thoughts and opinions. I turned the game on to watch him play a game. And the same with the NFL. I don't turn the game on to listen to this player or that player give their two cents or thoughts on this political view or this religion view or this, you know, whatever. I tune the game in or tune it on to watch them play a football game. If I want to listen to LeBron James's political thoughts and opinions, I would turn on, he had a podcast show or whatever, The Barbershop. Or I would tune in to listen to him on his Facebook live feeds or Instagram, or if he had podcasts. That, if I want to get his opinions on things, that's when I would do it. But I tune into these sporting events, these different games, if it be an NBA game, an NFL game, a NASCAR race, whatever the event may be, I tune those on, turn those on and tune in to watch a game, to watch a race, to watch an event, not to get everybody's political stance and views and everything else. And that's the big difference. And that's what I had to break down to Miss Brandy, was there's a difference between someone tuning into a opinionated talk show about sports and things that affect sports and things that are going on in the sports world versus tuning into an NBA game and have to listen to someone give their political thoughts and opinions and stance when that's not what I tune that in for. And that's, you know, back to my original point, that's why I tune into these things. That's what is great about doing this show. For the last 49 minutes, I've blocked out everything. I have no social media open in front of me. I have no knowledge of anything going on, nobody's political stance, nobody's anything. And most days when I don't have necessarily all the topics in front of me, normally I still don't even have social media. I might have ESPN popped up, I might have Yahoo Sports popped up, and I might have another news outlet or so, and some other things in front of me. But usually I'm not even on the social media to kind of spend that hour and be able to just kind of escape from all that. Escape from the job. The job knows not to call me. I have my show. This is, you know, from this time to this time, I will not answer the phone. And if they try calling, I end up texting them back, look on the show. You've got to text me. Let me know what you need or call one of my two assistants. Family knows, look, this is the time frame I'm doing the show. Don't interrupt this. The world just kind of into the background. I get an opportunity to just focus, talk, and think about sports or when the sport, you know, races on a football game on that. And that's the way it should be. And that's the way I want it to be. And so where I'm not going to get to the point where I sit there and say, you know, they just need to just shut up and dribble or just play the game, because I don't necessarily feel that it needs to be said in such a negative way, and in a way it sounds rude. But at the end of the day, ultimately, that's kind of where we're at when it comes to all this, because we don't tune in to get your political views. We don't tune in to get your thoughts on women versus men, devil versus God, Republican versus Democrat. At the end of the day, we don't. At the end of the day, we tune in to see who's going to win the NBA Finals, who's going to win the Super Bowl, who's going to win the Stanley Cup, who's going to be your Major League Baseball champions, who's going to be your NASCAR Cup Series champ. Ultimately, at the end of the day, and we tune in to catch all the drama and the games that lead up to that. And when I say drama, I'm talking about, you know, the best of series, the Boston Red Sox against the Yankees throughout the season, and even potentially into the playoffs, or your Browns and the Steelers, or even the Ravens and the Steelers have become really good. Basketball wise, Clippers versus the Lakers, or this year Brooklyn and Lakers, or whatever the case might be. You know, the drama that revolves around, the drama that here we are. And AD and LeBron is out and is going to be out probably close up to playoff times. Who knows? KD was out. Now he's back playing. You're such a stacked team that now James Harden, for the first time in his career, is just going to go ahead and take the next 10 days off for a quote-unquote injury. We'll get more into that and the ridiculousness of the NBA and these stacked teams and how this is just killing the ratings, because now you just got players taking games off left and right and just market chalking it up as injuries. So convenient that as soon as KD comes back from his quote-unquote injury, Harden needs to go on his first ever quote-unquote injury. But those are the things that need to be focused on and talked about and build up leading up to the playoffs and the championship versus worrying about all this other political stuff. At the end of the day, that's where the focus needs to be, and that's why we do the things that we do. Like I said, next Thursday, April 15th, we will be 10 years old. So looking forward to that. Monday night, we got Race Chat Live right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network at 8 o'clock. Make sure you guys tune into that. Of course, I will be back in the studio. Hopefully, it'll be Tuesday night, but it could be a Wednesday night, depending on the work schedule. It wouldn't be Wednesday night. It'd either be Tuesday or Thursday. But hopefully, we'll be back on the Tuesday night. Hopefully, nothing else comes up where I got to be getting ready for any kind of – I'm tired of all these rides, what we call them rides, and basically inspections. It was just 2 or 3 weeks ago that they had higher-ups on in. But then today, VP and regional director in, and then – in about 3 weeks, we got everybody riding around, and basically putting on another dog and pony show. So April 27th is what they said. So not looking forward to that, which would be a Tuesday. But that means Monday would be the day it would be there, like getting ready for it on Tuesday, and they should make their rounds before the end of the day. So I'd assume I wouldn't be there no later than 5 or 6 o'clock. Should be back in here 8 o'clock on Tuesday night. Don't forget, you guys can follow us on Twitter at 110 Nation. Also, check us out on Facebook, the 110 Nation Sports. Make sure you guys jump over to the site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the latest going on here at the 110 Nation. I think we've gotten everything pretty much lit up, done, and taken care of. Just glad to be back on the air. Glad to be back in the studio. Glad to know that my volume's right on here, so I don't have to worry about people not hearing me. So that's a good thing as well. So looking good on all aspects of this tonight. So glad. This is why I stay on social media while I'm on that. Why is one of the people on my thing in taking a video of him in a boat? But that makes no sense. Anyway, They did a comparison. Big Ben's 33 touchdowns and 10 interceptions is washed up, while Justin Herbert's 31 touchdowns and 10 interceptions is considered a young star. I'm not sold on the whole Justin Herbert thing, and Big Ben is washed up. So, ace and ace of spades is fade. Let's call it down the line. Let's not have double standards. Let's not have Major League Baseball double standards. Let's call it anyway. Like I said, back in the studio Tuesday night. Make sure you guys catch the 110 or the Race Chat Live crew next Monday night. Jump to the site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the latest. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show with Mr. TJ Ford. You are a part of the 110 Nation, so be sure to visit the 110nation.com for everything related to the show. You can follow CJ on Twitter at 110 Nation and on Facebook at 110 Nation Sports. Until next time.